You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
A little over a year ago, I drove from Collinsville to Chicago Heights to visit my mother. That trip is about 300 miles, and that's about 5 hours of driving time. 5 hours on the interstate highway, that is. 5 hours of monotonous, boring scenery. So I decided on the spur of the moment to get off the interstate and take the back roads. Boy, did I have a great, relaxing time. I went through little towns with names like Pocahontas, Pena, Shelbyville, Watseka, Moments. I even went through Kansas, the town of Kansas, Illinois, that is. It was kind of like an old-time Sunday afternoon drive. It also took me about 3 more hours than if I'd stayed on the interstate. So I finally pull up into my mother's driveway 3 hours late. She comes running out the door and says, "Where have you been? I've been worried sick about you." And then she looked up at me and said, "And you need a haircut, too." Well, I've learned that your mother is always your mother. Some things never change, and that's one of them. The Bible says, "Honor thy father and thy mother," and there's no footnote that says this commandment will expire when you reach a certain age. Your mother is your mother when you're a baby and need your diapers changed and need to be fed. Your mother is still your mother when you turn 16 and get your driver's license. Your mother is still your mother when you're 21 and able to vote, pay taxes, and go off to war. And when she gets up in years and shows the infirmities of age, she's still your mother. Even when she has passed into eternity, when she is present only as a dear memory, she is still your mother. The commandment has no expiration date. Honor thy father and thy mother, period. That's what today is about. Or I should say, partly about. It's partly about honoring mom, but today is all about honoring God. For God is the giver of life. He chose your mother, he chose mine, to be his instruments by which he gave us life. The best observance of Mother's Day is one that worships and glorifies God for the life he has given us through our mothers. Indeed, they are God's instruments. Diapers, feedings, driving to piano lessons and soccer games, love and discipline. The hand of the Heavenly Father reaches down and gives these things and so many more to us children through the hands and the heart of Mother. So today is about honoring Mom in part, but it's all about honoring God, the giver of life. The life that God gives is not just physical. It's also to be spiritual. In that distinction, we can see why today should be more than an observance of physical life from our parents. Pentecost is about the spiritual life of faith, which distinguishes us from the rest of the physical creation. No person, not even mom, can give the spiritual life. Through parents, God the Father gave us and sustained our physical life, but from mom and dad, we received something else. We inherited sin. Psalm 51 says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Now some people have misunderstood this passage to mean that there is something inherently sinful in the procreation of children. Quite the contrary. The union of husband and wife that produces children is the miraculous way God enables us to fulfill his command to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. What Psalm 51 does teach is that we are born as sinful human beings. I don't think we're taking any of the luster off of Mother's Day when we say that no mother in the history of the world is sinless. sinful mothers and sinful fathers produce sinful children. That inherited sinfulness shows up as children grow and commit actual sins. They hit their brother or sister. They experiment with telling little lies. They gang up on children who are not in their clique at school. The older our children become, the more adult their sins become. These actual sins are the outward manifestations of original sin inherited from mom and dad, which they in turn inherited going all the way back to Adam and Eve. Sins are not something that we pick up from our environment or other people as we grow older. Remember that Jesus said, "Out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, sexual sins, stealing, lies, slanders." This inherited sinful heart is one that is doomed to death. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. So, we're born with a sinful heart that is doomed to die. What we need is a new heart, a gift of life. Everybody needs that. I need it. You need it. Fathers and, yes, mothers need it too. That gift of eternal life comes from the giver of life, the Holy Spirit. That's why today is really all about Him, the giver of spiritual life. In the New Testament, we read about a conversation between Jesus and a man named Nicodemus. Jesus told Nicodemus, "If anyone is not born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Well, that confused Nicodemus. He asked, "How can anyone be born when he is old? He cannot go back into his mother's womb and be born a second time, can he?" To that, Jesus repeated the need to be reborn. He said, "What is born of the flesh is flesh, but what is born of the Spirit is spirit." Our mothers gave us physical birth, flesh born of flesh. But today is really about the Holy Spirit, God who gives a new birth of the Spirit to us born of the flesh. So the most appropriate prayer for this day of Pentecost is the prayer of the Psalm. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." The way the Holy Spirit gives us that life is by the gospel of Jesus Christ. I quoted before that the wages of sin is death. The rest of that passage says, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Spirit gives life through the gospel. St. Paul told the Thessalonians that God called you by the gospel which we preached. Paul told the Corinthians, "I have begotten you through the gospel." St. Peter said, "You were born again, not by a seed that perishes, but by one that cannot perish, namely God's ever-living Word." It is through the Word of Jesus Christ that God creates a new heart, a new spirit, new life within us. I find that very comforting. I don't have to have visions, nor does my faith rest upon people who claim to have visions. I don't have to remember a date when I had a profound emotional and religious experience. I don't have to speak in strange tongues that few people can understand. The clean heart, the new spirit, the rebirth I need is given freely to me by the Holy Spirit through the objective word of the gospel, that printed and spoken word that tells all that Jesus did for me. Now, some people take offense when we Lutherans say that saving faith is completely a gift of the Holy Spirit. Dr. Luther says, "I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to Him, but the Holy Ghost has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with His gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith." I don't find that troublesome at all. I find it very, very comforting. When I am feeling down, the Holy Spirit comes with that objective external word that picks up my spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives me life. And to you too. This day is all about the Holy Spirit giving you life through the word of Jesus Christ. Jesus died on Calvary's cross for your every sin. Original sin, the sin you inherited from your parents, was washed away when he suffered in your place. Actual sins, the things you and I think or say or do wrong, are all forgiven because of Jesus. The psalmist prayed, "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." Well, the Word gives you the objective answer to that prayer. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. This life that the Holy Spirit gives you gets its power and vitality from the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. As Peter says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." It's the work of the Holy Spirit to give and strengthen you through this word. The other day I was speaking with a lady who had lost her husband. The grief over his passing is visibly great. But she told me how her devotion, her time with the Word of Christ, is her greatest help. That's just the way God intended it to be. And through the Word of Christ, the Spirit can also give you life. Now, getting back to that leisurely drive I took to Chicago Heights, I didn't tell you the whole story before. Remember, I pull into the driveway several hours late. My mother comes running out and goes through her speech about how I worried her and how I need a haircut. But here's the part that I didn't tell you before, because I wanted to save it for now. She gave me a big hug. Oh, she lectured me all right, but she did that quickly. And then she got on to the real business, a big, warm hug. That hug said it all. I love you. I don't think a mother's love should ever be taken for granted, though we're all guilty of that. Some of you may not have had good, loving Christian mothers. You'd be the first, I hope, to treasure maternal love and to pass it on to your children. Just as mother's love should not be taken for granted, the life the Holy Spirit gives you through the Word of Christ should not be taken for granted either. You sin, and yet he lovingly continues to embrace you with forgiveness. You may be slow to pray to God, but the Holy Spirit continues to intercede for you. Your Bible may not be well used, but it's still there, isn't it? It hasn't been taken away yet. You may carry your grudges and hatreds. Christ forgives you, but you haven't made the connection that you should forgive those who trouble you. Yet the Holy Spirit is still present, reminding us to pray sincerely, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." How often do you radiate the joy of salvation? I don't mean in an artificial way, but with a sincere and genuine joy in Christ for others. We so often don't, but the Holy Spirit is still present, just waiting for us to beg him for true joy. How often we take the giver of life for granted. So it's a terrifying thought to think about God withdrawing his Holy Spirit. The older we get, the more we learn to treasure a mother's love. So too, the more we reflect on the spiritual life, the more we pray to God, "Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me." God hasn't taken the Holy Spirit away from us. If he took away the giver of life, we'd be plunged into spiritual and eternal death. But the Spirit hasn't been taken from us, and so we want to hold all the more closely to our faith, and to the Christian people about us, especially today, mothers. Mothers hug us, but we'll want to hug them because they too need reassurance. They need to hear you speak the words of Jesus, words of life. Mothers help us, but we need to help them. Children cleaning rooms, husbands taking time to sit and listen, visits to see her, phone calls to talk with her. Just like all of us, a mother's spirit needs to be sustained. And your love, in words today and in deeds every day, witnesses to the Spirit who sustains us all. And since we have the privilege of prayer, let us remember them, thanking God with heart and hands and voices, who wondrous things has done, in whom his world rejoices, who from our mother's arms has blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today. This day is, in part, about our mothers. It is really all about him who is still with us, the Holy Spirit, the Lord and the giver of life. Amen.